About practicing counting it off, so I'd like for you to do that as well.
Oh, okay. Let's see. Slowly do I want to play? 1, 2, 3, 4. That's too slow, isn't it?
I think you meant halftime, right? So yeah. It would be like 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We knew what you meant. But just try it again.
Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Good. And you can give us a little bit of a solo, like do some C major scale. Don't worry about the bass lines. Any questions? Notice that all she used was C major and it kind of fit, and as she got more rhythmically confident, it worked, and that goes back to lesson one, the very first day, right? So that's all I want to say about that. Now you're in the guitar voicings, you can just ignore the flat five and just play D9 or D7. It's not wrong. Because it depends. I have to qualify what I'm saying. If you do a regular D7, you're potentially preventing someone from using the whole note harmony. You're suggesting more of the melodic minor harmony, but neither one is wrong and neither one is right. That's beyond the scope of this. I shouldn't have even said that. So you could just do D9. If you must, like, do a D7 without any embellishments, any D7 that has root third, fifth, and seventh. Find out where the fifth is and flat the sucker.
Yeah, there you go, good.
And if you want me to help you, I will. The fifth is at string 4, fret 7. Yeah. Yep, do one other voicing, like maybe at the 10th fret, D7. So at least you have an E shape and an A shape, if you know what I mean. Yeah, good. Doug's got it. Yeah, this has to do, before we flat the fifth, this has to do with the voicing chart I gave you on why you sometimes only play 4-note voicings. Like, instead of this guy, you would do this guy. And why is that important? Because now when we alter the fifth, we only got 1/5 to alter. I can't quite see, but you're doing the same thing I'm doing, right? And the fifth is on top here. So you're gonna alter it down half step.
Alright, hang on, say that again.
The fifth is on top. Go back to where I was, you guys. This jazz voicing, where it goes, it's called drop 2. It's string number 6, 4, 3, and 2. Why learn those chords when you can just do this? Well, this is a prime example of it. Because now, if I did the big rock version, I got 2/5 in my chord. Do, re, mi, fa, sol, and do, re, mi, fa, sol. Then I have to flat in order to make that. That's no fun. I'd rather just have one root, 1/3, 1/5, and 1/7. And if I gotta address something, I'll just address it. In this case, the fifth happens to be up top. You went the other way. You can do that. The fifth happens to be up top at the second string, and I went down a half step. So you could try singing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, almost. The Simpsons.
Yes. Right?
That's where it's from.
What did you say?
The Simpsons.
Oh. What was the example I used on the thing? Was it Maria?
Yeah.
Maria.
Simpsons.
Okay, all right. Maria. Alright. So did you get that voicing? Do it up here.
I just met a girl
You know this D7. Yeah, but instead of that, I do a drop two voice. Maybe you haven't learned this yet. Okay, never mind. We'll come back to it someday. Just stick with this for now.
So the flatted note that you were trying to show me before, it moves from here to here?
It's on the second string. That. Yeah, and keep everything beautiful. That's it. Beautiful, you got it.
It's not too different than the G7 flat 9. It's kind of simple.
Right. Right. All right, let's go to Mitch doing solo.
All right.
Yeah, and that means you count it, please.
All right, let me see where I am.
It doesn't mean you have to keep stopping. We can go around once we get the tune going, like Louise will be next. And I'll prompt you with the scales. But for now, count us off.
One, two, three, four.
Hang on. You did something similar to Melody. One, two, a one, two, three. Like, don't count the whole thing in halftime, right. Just the first half.
Okay. One, two, three, and.
That was the top, right?
We had two chords left.
That was the top. But the cool thing she did, and I forgot to say it, to address this, is she played C major pentatonic, right? As opposed to C major. I didn't even think about this, but this is way easier and simpler because there's no F in what she's playing, right? When you do a C major, it's got C, D, E, F, G, A, B, right? So the F and B aren't there anymore. So there's no need to address the D7, because the fact that there's an F sharp and a D7 is immaterial to her, since she's not playing any F.
Oh, that's why I was doing that.
No F and F.
Right. And then she's playing A in her scale, but like I said, when you have a D7 flat 5, it could also be considered a sharp 11. I don't know if this is going off the deep end, but
well, it certainly is for me, but I'm sure these guys are getting
you ever wonder why some chords are called sharp 11 and some are called flat 5?
I never wondered that.
I don't know if I've encountered a sharp 11 yet.
In a way, I'm disappointed that you said yeah, because I was going to say, okay, fine, I'm not going to go there. But since you said yeah, I will explain very quickly. The sharp 11 means that the fifth is also present, and you're just sharping the 4. Like, the regular fifth is still there. The flat 5 kind of means the 5 gets flatted, but it's not a cut and dry science, so you technically could play an A note over my D7 flat 5, any A note, right, 2, 3, 4, maybe not if I do it in that voicing, but how about this voicing, 3, 4, sounds perfectly fine, right, I just put it not so close to the, put it in a different octave, they're not like right clashing each other, that's enough for now. So she did a cool thing. She just did C major pentatonic and played it rhythmically, and that was cool. I didn't even think of that. All right, Doug, here we go, bud. And you're gonna count this time, please.
A 1 and a 2 and a 1, 2, 3, 4.
Like pretty much across the board, everyone's got good feel for the song. Actually, this is a good question about why C6 is major in the major family and why C9 is in the dominant family. Maybe this is why you're asking.
I think one of the things that I mistook when you said just think of it as C. Major 7.
Right.
I thought you meant just change the 6 to a 7.
Alright, okay.
And that's okay, so now I know that there's more nuance to the change, right?
Yeah.
Is that what we're saying?
Yeah.
So it's
C9 and 13 are in the dominant family. C6, C major 7, C add 9, C major 13 are all in the major family. If you really want to dig into this, I have stuff on it, but it's beyond the scope of this. Minor is easy to spot because it'll always say M or minus. Half diminished is easy to spot because it'll always say minor.
So this 6 is a C major 7.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll try to remember that.
Where is it?
So now that you've gone around, I know you've just been introduced to this, and you may be thinking, well, how am I going to do that? But you've done harder stuff than this already in this clinic, so what we're going to do is try to at least make some kind of statement and develop it, work it up to a climax somehow. We'll talk about the different elements later, which is coming on that same page, but rather than try and study the list and all this, just use your own devices to build a climax with some thematic device. This is motifs on acid, right? we're doing some kind of and I'll try and demonstrate. I don't know what I'm gonna do, but I'm just gonna use some kind of repetition or stretching of the or compressing of the motif, whatever motif I choose, and work up some tension and then resolve it. I don't know how. But it's kind of, may I have a comp from someone, maybe Hillary? Like 1, 2, a 1, 2, 3, 4. Did you notice how he kind of, I don't know how, I think it was just by the dynamics of it. Right? I still kept the motif intact. And I played wrong shit too, right? But it sounded right because, well, at least it was in this adventurous spirit of exploration, right? So, but you knew what the motif was and you could feel, right? So what, you could analyze, we're going to analyze some stuff later, but for now, just try it. Just have a sense of what sculpting might look like. However that is for you. You know, take a simple idea and mess with it, get more intense with it, and then gently put us back for the next person.
Applying the text to this chart, if I'm playing for how many bars this is,
yeah.
It's like
probably
32. Yeah.
I guess.
So, am I developing through, you know, 28 of those bars?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, something like that. This is way beyond today, but you ever hear the golden ratio?
Yeah,
sure.
And you know, it's in music has that too. It's like a ratio. It's kind of somewhere similar to like 2/3 ish.
Fibonacci thing.
Okay. Yeah, you know, how did you, you know, like where is? I once tried to figure out like where is that in 5 a 5 minute piece? Then where is the thing? Like where is the point? You know, and it's roughly 2/3 ish, but. And even then, that's kind of misleading because then that's a long drop-off period.
Yeah.
My drop-off period was only the last two bars in here. So I don't know if that really applies, but... So I thought you were going to say, do I have to develop one motif the whole way through? No, you don't. And I tried to just for the sake of simplicity, but... So let's just go around. Mitch is up first because we had Melanie up first before and then... And besides, she's making classic facial expressions like, what?
I don't think I can.
All right. Now, the challenge for me is always knowing where I am on the chart at any given time when I'm not playing the chords.
I suppose one...
I'll try to listen.
You know, I suppose the big four chord in the bridge is a good giveaway.
Yeah.
It suspends your tension there for a while.
When I started with this guy, what, a year now? But anyway, when I started with this guy, second chord in soloing, no idea where I was in the song. No idea. But it's getting easier.
How did you actually begin to hear where you were?
I don't know, it's just been more, you know, doing it a lot more.
Realizing that you trying, have to pay attention.
Having to pay attention, yeah.
Yeah,
but
cool.
Like you said,
I forgot
those,
all about that.
I hear that some of those chords stand out now. It's like, oh, okay,
I know. I totally forgot that you were like that.
Right, and like hearing the transition from one chord to the next chord, if once I start to hear that, how they go, then I can kind of figure out where I am. Try to count along with it while you're...
Yeah, and you know, notice that Louise kind of hums along the melody a lot of times. She keeps her spot. She keeps her spot very well while everyone else is soloing. And that's a cool thing. And that's the easiest way to do it, is to, while you're soloing, if you can, you know, hum the melody in the back of your head, kind of.
I might just try to listen to where, what section we're in.
Yeah.
And that might help.
But any of the old school guys, of which I'm not, because I had never mentioned the word lyric so far, but they'll all say, man, you got to learn the lyrics and know the lyrics and, like, really know the song. So you could even know what word you're on while you're soloing. You know, I'm like...
Some of the things that are really balanced.
Hey, train. all the words, which is, you know, bad on me, right? But I know the big ones, like where the important ones are.
Right. The rest of them are pretty, like nothing, you know? So those are the important ones.
But yeah, if I was like, you know, back in the hood or something, I'd be getting my butt kicked for not knowing the lyrics. Here we go.
Ready? Something during my go around, I listen for the da da da. So the G7, you know,
the 2-5. Yeah, you'll start to hear those. Yeah, so nice.
That was how I was able to keep my spot, was listening for those.
The 2-5s at the end of the 8.
Yeah, D G C. Anyway, you were about to go.
Hillary every week is like, you can hear the improvement in her like solo.
Thanks.
It's a big compliment considering who you're sitting
coming
next to.
Coming from my hero.
No. No, I mean like 3 weeks ago, you know, you're like, now you're like, I'm hearing those notes ring out.
Cool, thanks.
Very awesome.
One.
Alright, you're solo, but I was gonna comment on people's, but I'm holding off until everyone goes.
One, two, three, four.
nothing else, I was going to comment on each one individually, but I think I'll just make general comments, which is, if nothing else, already way more than when we did the motifs, the overall architecture is a lot more present. Even to the extent that when Hillary was doing it, for example, perhaps she didn't know that there was another 8 bars left.
Right.
Her ability to control the dynamics and control the whatever it's called, the tension and release, was so apparent that we knew what she was thinking, even when she was off the form a little. And then Doug said, you got another 8 bars. So that's to your credit. I mean, blowing the form, that's a different story, but that's way to your credit. And I heard elements of that in everyone's thing. So it's not that hard. You may have thought, 20 minutes ago that I'm not ready for this, but you just showed me you were. So this is cool stuff. And it's not a big, like I said, it's not a big topic. People don't usually talk about it, but they do it a lot, you know. And so now we're going to dig in more. Now that you've gotten your feet wet on the tune and we've gotten a sense of it, we're going to dig in more. Melanie, I think she had been saying that before. That's why I skipped over. But thank you for saying it.
Keeping you honest.
But we're going to pause the recording and read the rest of the thing. The main thing is the elements which produce tension and release. But we're going to start from the middle of that page where it says, I have often thought...